today on Real Radio.
When the Holy Spirit is left alone to be the teacher to anyone who will open up the Word of God, that person, I believe, will wind up in a safe place regarding Bible doctrine. I guess what I'm saying is be careful about what you hear from who you hear. Even me. Acts 17:11 says you ought to test everything that Paul the Apostle was talking about. And Paul's the one that said that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the book of Isaiah does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the one who will come to deliver us. But its final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass. And that is how God will create a new heaven and a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 50, we learned the true value of asking a question. When a question is asked, there's always a reason behind it. There's something to be learned and an answer to be received. The Lord really does take great delight in talking with us. He has the answer to our greatest concerns in life. But here's the big question. Are we listening? So today, on day 1 of chapter 50, part 2, Pastor Jack wants us to be careful of what we're being told and to consider the source. How can we know when the Holy Spirit is speaking? Well, we'll know because it'll be in perfect harmony with the Word of God. It will also lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in our own spirit and in our own relationship with Him. And now in his lesson called, Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
But God, we thank you that this is not the permanent dwelling place. We praise you. We pray that even tonight, Jesus, we'd see your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I continually perpetuate a lie in front of you where I'm going to get through a chapter a night on Wednesdays. I thought I would do it last week. It's only 11 verses for crying out loud, and that didn't happen. But it was important that we let the Word of God speak to us as the Spirit, I trust, was leading. And we'll continue to do that tonight. We're looking at a message entitled in Isaiah chapter 50, Can I Ask You a Question? And there's a list, I gave you that list last time, that God is asking of Israel questions. He's asking them. He's actually, with his questions, listen, he's asking them questions, but with the questions, he's indicting them. Because they're challenging questions. He's asking them a question that they already know the answer to, but he's saying to them, he's asking them, to answer these key questions. And he's going to force them to respond. Now, he's not going to ask them to respond with words. He's going to have them respond because they're so hard-headed. They won't listen. They're going to go into captivity. And in the bondage of captivity, because that's where disobedience to God will always take you, Christian. If you disobey God and continue to disobey God, God winds up putting us in the penalty box. He doesn't want to put us there, but we wind up going there. And that's what happened to Israel. And so God is speaking to them. And you also know by now that chapter 50, all the way out to chapter 66, now has tremendous revelations of, listen, New Testament doctrine. You heard me right. Isaiah chapter 50, all the way out to Isaiah chapter 66, you're going to hear over and over again New Testament doctrine. Promises here that are fulfilled in the New Testament, certainly. Old Testament promises with New Testament fulfillments. And so as you guys look at tonight, and I pray you write these verses down in your note-taking or in the margins of your Bible, I'm a firm believer that if somebody were to be abandoned on a deserted island somewhere, I'm fully confident completely, I'm not kidding, that if a Bible fell out of an airplane somewhere and landed on that island and hit the guy in the head maybe, and he picked it up and started reading it from Genesis to Revelation, that guy would have an absolute perfect understanding of Bible doctrine. Because the Holy Spirit is dedicated to exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, and he does that through the Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit is left alone to be the teacher to anyone who will open up the Word of God, that person, I believe, will wind up in a safe place regarding Bible doctrine. I guess what I'm saying is be careful about what you hear from who you hear. Even me. Acts 17:11 says you ought to test everything that Paul the Apostle was talking about. And Paul's the one that said that. And that's true. Judge everything you hear against the Bible. And equally true is the fact that when the Bible says something that you recognize as you will tonight, say, hey man, that's a New Testament flair to that. That's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And you need to be excited about that. Because God's word is God's revealed word from Genesis to Revelation. And Isaiah is God speaking through the prophet. And it's truly awesome. Because God relates to us through his word. And so write this down if you would. I think it's important that, first of all, the fact that it's through the Bible that we discover who the Messiah is. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And I'm giving that scripture up front by design. God says in the New Testament that he has revealed to mankind that Jesus is the Messiah, and by the Messiah, he will reconcile the world to himself. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. God wants all people to be saved. Church, does that mean everybody gets saved? No, but God wants them to. So be very, very wise and be very smart over the fact that God is absolutely sovereign, but God has built into this entire program your ability to make your own decisions regarding where you will spend eternity. And that's a very serious thing. But he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's an awesome statement. Paul the Apostle is telling Timothy, telling us tonight, that the Word of God reveals that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the only mediator, the only go-between between mankind and God is Jesus Christ. And for what purpose? To bring about redemption. When? At an appointed time. Isaiah is going to be looking and speaking way to the future. You and I today look way back to what happened 2,000 years ago. It's absolutely amazing. Throughout all the millennia of the ages, God's word is so incredibly and wonderfully true. And so, listen, God is asking you and I a question tonight, and that's going to be the application for us as we go through this. John chapter 11, verse 23. John 11, 23 says, and Jesus said to her, this is Martha, Lazarus has died. Jesus has now come. Martha and Mary are there questioning him, if you remember that. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, verse 24, John 11, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Listen, do you believe this? Jesus asked her. He asked her a question, and it forced her to respond. And God will be asking us questions tonight. Listen, we saw this last time very quickly. We saw it in verse 1, 2, and 3, is this question being asked by God. Whose fault is it? Remember that? Israel, he's saying, whose fault is this? And here's the announcement. Question number 1, he says, thus saith the Lord, verse 1, where is the certificate of your mother, or that is of Israel, divorce? Whom I have put away. That's his first question. Israel, you walked out on me. Where's the divorce papers? I didn't divorce you. Second question. Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Israel, you've gone off now to worship before all these pagan altars, and you've sold yourself into slavery because of your iniquity. Find the receipt that shows I'm the one that sold you. You've done this by your own doing. And you remember that last time. So let's pick it up now where we left off. Verses 4-5. God is now asking this question. Hasn't he given you the answer? And the answer to that is absolutely by the Messiahship of Christ. Now watch this, church. This is written 750 years before Jesus was born. Verse 4 begins. It's a passage regarding the Messiah and prophecy. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Verse 5, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. The latter part, all of this is about the Messiah, and every Jew knows this. But the latter part of verse 5 is a very powerful one, because Israel had sinned, Judah had sinned, everyone has sinned, we all sin. The statement at the end of verse 5 is being spoken by someone who has never sinned. This is interesting. Whoever it is speaking, because we're approaching this as doubters, right? We want to be convinced. We're here tonight as skeptics to this. Well, whoever we're talking about, verse 5 at the end tells us that he was not rebellious. Well, that rules out people. And that he did not turn away. It certainly rules out Israel. It edifies the personage of who we're speaking about. Whoever it is, if you notice in your Bible, a good study Bible should have me and my capitalized. The reason why is that the translators understood in the Hebrew that it's speaking of deity. That is absolutely accurate. The push to this is that God has given us the answer in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us regarding Jesus, who the scripture announces is the word of God. Psalm 107 verse 20 says that he, that is God, has sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So the Bible tells us that God's word can heal. God's word lifts the burden of the disasters. And the Bible teaches us, as you know, that Jesus is the word of God. So the answer that God is looking for, he wants Israel to respond, yes, we repent. Yes, we're sorry. We change our minds. God, you were right. We got our eyes off of you and we've ran to this other area to worship at these altars of pleasure, and we have forgotten you, God. And we hit that pretty hard last time together. We've abandoned you because of our own passions, and we're coming back, God. We're sorry. We ask you to forgive us. That's what he wants from us. And the question tonight is, hasn't God done enough for us? He really has. A friend of mine asked me just the other day if I knew of any good books that would help a friend of his reestablish his faith, maybe get his feet kind of back onto solid ground. And this is kind of like a third party request. And that's kind of a hard thing to answer, because some people depart from following Jesus because they want to. Do you know what I'm talking about? They just want to. Some people depart from Jesus and walking with Jesus because they succumb in weakness. They didn't want to. They got their eye off the ball, so to speak, and they wound up getting into the weeds. That's hard going, and we've all done that. We would call that backsliding. But in your own life, you need to be asking yourself the question is, hasn't God been good enough to me? And I want you to just pause for a second before we press on to this. Every one of us tonight in this tent could say 10 things as to what has gone wrong in our lives. And this is what's sad. We could all list 10 things that have gone wrong, and we can do it pretty quickly. And that's unfortunate. Because if I were to ask you, can you list 10 things that are really, really great? You might fill that out a little bit slower. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of painful to admit that, but it's like that. We have a tendency to gravitate toward those monumental moments that are the bummers, that are the downers. We can do that in relationships. It's painful when somebody views a relationship and it's always in the negative. You have to fight that. We all have to fight that. But there's some of you that have the demeanor, you've got the personality, you know, I guess, I don't know, I don't. But it would be one where you see everything's sunny, everything's rosy. If you're on staff here at this church, this is the way that I am. I've always been this way. I mean, I'm not a bummer to be around. But if somebody says, you know what, we've got this thing going on, and here's what I want to know. I want to know And when you tell me how much it's going to cost to fix it, the worst thing you can do is tell me a low number. I want to hear bad news. I want to hear it. If you think it's going to cost 15, you know, Jack, this thing's going to cost 15 bucks, I think, for us to get this fixed. Listen, don't tell me it's going to cost 12 and it's going to wind up costing 18. You know what I'm saying? Why? I'm not being mean. I'm not like, you know, Debbie Downer, and I'm not like, you know, Mr. Little Dark Cloud raining on everybody's parade. I want to be prepared. It has nothing to do with being a bummer. I want to be prepared. And it's vital to me that I understand that. Why? Because I want to be able to meet the challenge with the right stuff in my holster, so to speak, or in my backpack, right? I want to know what's up here. And I think that's very, very important. Because we need to understand tonight that God is saying, I've done it all for you. Now, the temptation is, done what? And if that's in our hearts tonight, and it kind of roams and ranges through the human heart, even among the lives of a child of God, if we're looking around and we start to sink and we start to feel like we're weighted down, let's just remember something. God says for us that from his word, we can be like the learned. This is a passage regarding Jesus Christ coming into the world as a human and learning the grace and the knowledge of God in his humanity. The Gospel of Luke tells us this, that Jesus grew in the grace and knowledge and had favor with both God and man. Did you hear that? That's what the Bible says about the coming of Christ into this world. He was God. But yet he relegated himself to his humanity and he had to learn how to walk. Isn't it amazing? God had to learn how to walk. Jesus had to learn how to eat as a baby. He learned things. Joseph, his earthly dad, so to speak, right, taught him how to be a carpenter. And yet the very one that Joseph is teaching made the worlds. And we often forget that. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. Of course, for him, thank God, he never sinned. But the temptations against Christ were just as real as the temptations that you and I deal with. And so this great passage is saying, I'm the one that was never rebellious. This is your Savior, Christian, the one that has never rebelled, the one that can't rebel. It's all about the Messiah, and you're going to see how graphically true it is in a moment. And I love that. By the way, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 29, Jesus is speaking. Revelation 2, 29, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says, implying that the Holy Spirit is still speaking. That's what that word means. Though Jesus said that in Revelation 2, 29, he says, be listening for what the Spirit is saying. Yes, to the churches, but us tonight. And God would speak to us tonight about that very thing. Listen, I'm going to ask you to write a couple things down if you would care to do that. And it's a question that I'm asking is, how can you and I know if God is speaking to us about something that's needful in our lives? Hasn't God given you an answer is the question to this particular point right now. And you might be saying, well, I don't know. I'm still waiting for an answer. I don't know if I'm getting an answer. I don't know if God is speaking to me or not on this one. How would I know? And that's a good question to ask. Well, number one, will you write this down? And it might be on the screens. I'm not sure if the guys have it or not. But number one would be this. Because the thought or the impression that is in your head will bear witness of an external source. I want you to think about that for a second. How do I know? Okay, Pastor, I heard what you're talking about, that God would say to me, to us tonight, haven't I done for you what's needed? Haven't I done enough? Haven't I spoken to you enough? You might say, oh, I'm not sure. Well, listen, test right now what you've been dealing with in your life. Boy, right now, I'll share it with you in a second. I'm seeing right now something that happened just the other day, and I'll share that with you about something just like this. Number one, because of the thought or impression that is in your head, it will bear witness of an external source, meaning this. How do I know if God is speaking? I've got this issue. I've got this situation, and how do I know if I'm hearing from God? Well, you will know inside. It will be a thought. It will be an impression upon you. And you'll know it's a little bit odd, but I mean this in a good way. It's a little bit odd, meaning it's not from your sourcing. It's external. It's a voice. It's a thought. It's a sentence. It's instruction. It's a statement. It may not be a Bible verse. It could be, but it may not be a Bible verse, but it is Bible true. Does that make sense? The words may be put in a certain way for you to understand, but you know it's not you. And I tell you, I think it might have been yesterday. I lose track of time. My goodness, time goes by so quick. It was either Monday or Tuesday. I was at Chalk's Hospital and sitting with parents of a child that is fighting for her life. 18-month-old girl, baby G. Remember to pray for baby G. That's what I'll call her, okay? And she's fighting for her life. And mom and dad are there. And it was amazing because we're talking about the faithfulness of God and the tenderness of God and the plans of God. And where's God in this? She's innocent. And all these normal human questions. And then the mom, she just says, you know, I was thinking, and boom, she gives this paragraph. And I said to her, I just said to both of them, but I said to her, listen to you. You just said it. She articulated 100% Bible comfort, Bible truth to their situation. She wasn't even aware of it. And for that moment, God knew that I was going to be there and that I had the opportunity to point it out to her. She had heard that earlier. She was thinking the thought. Then she said it, and I had the chance to say, that's him. That's his answer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, Jesus had a mission set in his heart to save us. So the big question is, what will you do now about who you are and where you're going? Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, so many of us go through this hectic and fast-paced life, not only depleted of energy, but depleted in spirit. But God doesn't want us to live that way, especially when we don't have to. That's why it's so important to start the day out not only with that loud beeping alarm clock, but with the soft whispering of the Lord telling us to come to Him, and He'll give us strength. A time set aside for devotions is one way to gain that momentum we so desperately need, and to take a breath in the power of God's Holy Spirit. So if you need some help with devotions, Pastor Jack has a special devotions icon right there at our website. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and inside the devotions tab, you'll find a scripture along with a personal story from Pastor Jack. There's a new one every week, along with previous devotions that you can click on every day if you'd like. And you know, soon this special time with the Lord will become a great time of closeness, and you'll be writing down your own personal story of what the verse of the day means to you. Again, you can find devotions at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app? You know, in spite of what we might think about social media with its often negative forms of expression, it does have a worldwide audience. So why don't we use this as an opportunity to spread the gospel? That's why Pastor Jack is on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. He wanted to create a forum where our Christian beliefs have a voice and where user participation is encouraged. You know, many of you have already subscribed to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. A lot of us are friends with him on Facebook and follow on Instagram. But if you haven't checked out Pastor Jack's messages on social media, we invite you to do that right away. You'll not only be blessed, you might be inspired to share your insights as well. For more information, simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.